Hello, everybody. So, I had a book recommended to me by a person I talked to, and it's a parody of 50 Shades of Grey, and it looked really interesting. And the only place I could find it was on the Kindle store, so I thought to increase the visibility and have some fun, give me something to record, I would read it out for you. So, it has about 18 chapters. I think I'll read one chapter at a time. So, here we go. 50 Shades of Nay by Anna Roberts. Chapter 1. It's Monday. I wake up in a bad novel, shower, and hurry to the mirror to describe myself. My hair has dried in a weird shape, and I'm supposed to be studying for finals, but all I can think about is how my blue eyes are too big for my face, and my nose is too small. Damn Catherine Hannigan for subjecting me to this unspecified ordeal. This was supposed to be her interview, but she's come down with the flu just to spite me, and so I'm going to have to go and interview this Crispy and Nay guy. Me. Now see, skinny, long-legged, full-lipped me. I don't even know what to say to a man. Kate is lying on the couch, self-medicating with a cocktail of blended scotch and NyQuil. Even with pink-edged nostrils and eyes to match, she is still more attractive than me. Shit, what happened to your hair? She coughs. You look like a Bee Gee. Is that a sex thing? I don't know. She's more worldly than me, too, although not as deep, obviously. Kate, I don't think I can go through with this. I don't know the first thing about interviewing people. Hannah, let's be honest, says Kate, sitting up and wiping her nose. You don't really know much about anything. In fact, it's safe to say if I didn't know any better, I'd say you'd been raised in a Skinner box. She holds up a hand, and yeah, I know, you don't know what that is either. I'm not good with men, I whisper, biting my lip. I don't know what to say to them. Kate sighs, exasperated. Look, I wrote you a list of questions. You walk into the room, shake his hand, say hi, I'm Hannah Laura Squeal from the student newspaper, and try not to face plan, ass plan, or fling yourself through a plate glass window, okay? It's for me, I'm so hideously uncoordinated. Like that chick from the teeny vampire books. Yeah, we know, Hannah, we know. You should probably get that looked at. Maybe it's some kind of inner ear thing. But I don't know anything about Crispy and Nay, I plead. The words inner ear bounce around inside my skull like an annoying narrative device, as yet ephemeral but soon to be given flash form and hula skirts. Probably. Every time I say the name Crispy and Nay out loud, I feel a ripple of foreshadowing and have to sit down with my head between my knees. I wouldn't do this for anyone else but you, Kate, I say. You're my dearest friend, a strong, determined, beautiful, independent woman. She waves a hand and picks up her phone. Hannah, save the plastic sisterhood for your book club or your traveling fucking pants or whatever. Can we just go now, please? Can you just go now, please? As I walk out the door, I hear her say, Hey, shitlord, what's up? Yeah, she's gone. She laughs throatily, so brave in spite of her illness. Bring the bong. I know, right? Can you believe people sent the 90s dropping this shit? The come down is a bitch. She's so sassy. I love her. She's so tenacious that I know she'll make an amazing journalist, even if she is annoyingly pretty in that blonde, obvious way that men seem to love so much. I drive to the headquarters of Crispy and Nay's Global Enterprise. It's a building so large that I need to consult a thesaurus to describe it. After lengthy consideration, I settle on Edifice, replace my well-thumbed copy of Rajas in the glove box of Wendy, my trusty VW Beetle, and walk trepidatiously, nice, through the soaringly high glass doors of the steel and glass edifice. Well, I say walk. Actually, I fall. I don't even get 6 steps across the polished sandstone floor before I trip over my own feet and skid, face down, to an ungracious halt in front of the expansive, semicircular reception desk. Which is also sandstone, by the way. White sandstone, in case you were wondering. Oh my goodness, are you okay? When I look up, a blonde head is peering over the edge of the desk at me. The blonde head is attached to a blonde woman, and her body is dressed in the sharpest suit and whitest shirt I have ever seen in my life. She is immaculate. Stepford perfect. Her hair is really tidy, too. There's a sign. She moves apologetically, pointing to the wall behind me. I turn and look and see a yellow sign reading, "Warning, floor may be slippery." "It's okay," I murmur, getting to my feet. "I'm always falling over." "Oh," she says, blinking her heavily mascaraed eyelashes at me. "Is it an inner ear thing?" I try not to glare at her and wonder speculatively if blondes like her and Kate have some kind of hive mind thing going on. "No," I say, trying not to sound snippy. "It's a minor character trait." She quirks a well-groomed eyebrow. "Looked pretty major to me," she says. "If you slid any faster, you'd have cracked your skull on the desk. Are you here to see someone?" I draw myself up to my full 5'6". Most of which is my legs. I have disproportionately long legs. It's probably why I'm always falling over. My leggingness is probably why men find me so sexually unappealing, especially when I wear a short skirt. And say, "Yes, I'm here to see Crispy and May." "Okay," she half sneers. "Go take a seat. What did you say your name was again?" "Hannelore Squeal," I say, flushing scarlet. "My mother likes European names." "You're not on the list, Miss Squeal." She trails the tip of an impeccable black enamel fountain pen down the page as she reads. I suppose at least she doesn't move her lips, too, although she's probably trained herself not to do that, so not to wear her lip gloss away too quickly. "I'm here for Catherine Hannigan," I explain. "The journalist. She can't make it. She's sick." Little Miss Stefford curls her lip. "Some journalist." "What do you mean?" I ask, immediately defensive of Kate. Kate is my best friend, even if she does make me do her interviews for her when she knows I'm not good at conversation or social cues or anything that isn't curling up with a book, really. "Well, you know." The receptionist shrugs padded shoulders. "I thought the whole deal with journalism was to cover the story, even if you're being shot at, chased by the government, sued by Scientologists, or just in a self-induced chemical funk so terrible you're seeing giant reptiles living all over the blood-drenched carpets of a fancy Las Vegas casino bar, but you know, whatever. I'm sure Miss Hannigan knows what she's doing, career-wise." I don't like her. "Can I have a glass of water?" I ask. "There's a cooler," she says, pointing. I glare and go to get up, but she waves me back down. "Yeah, on second thought, stay put," she mutters. "I don't want you walking on that floor. You're a lawsuit waiting to happen." "I'm sorry to be so much trouble," I whisper, staring at my shoes. My face is aflame and I want to die. When I look up, Miss Stefford catches my eyes and laughs, the kind of bright, merry, carefree laugh that only a blonde can produce. "Oh, honey," she chuckles. You're so not sorry. You're not sorry at all." She lifts the phone on her desk. Still or sparkling, ice or no ice. Opposite me, the elevator doors ding open. She replaces the phone without dialing as two men step out of the elevator, one tall, handsome, and African-American, and the other white, short, and somewhat pudgy. "You gotta keep active, Nay," the African-American is saying. "Keep up the movement, and you'll be back on the golf course in no time." As he speaks, I realize the other man is none other than Crispy and Nay. I get to my feet to introduce myself, trip over the strap of my satchel, and face plant at his feet. "This is Miss Squeal," explains Miss Stepford. She's filling in for Miss Hannigan from the student newspaper. He looks down at me. Holy crap, he's so young. He can't be much more than 25. He's wearing a Hawaiian silk shirt open over a Gaston flag t-shirt that reads, "Don't friend zone me." He's cute, kind of quirky. He wears one of those gray fedora hats with a white pinstripe with unruly copper-colored hair and bright brown eyes that regard me shrewdly. It's the strangest hat I have ever seen. "Hi," he mumbles, holding out a hand and helping me up. I'm crispy and nay. I have ethnic friends. Dude, I'm not your friend, says his companion. I'm your proctologist. Although, I guess I can see where the confusion occurred. I mean, we're kind of intimate in a, you know, kind of way. He raises two fingers in an inexpressively expressive gesture that I don't understand, being as sexually naive as I am. He nods to Crispy and Nay and says, just keep applying the medication, and please, try to lose some weight. I'll see you on the golf course, says Crispy and Nay, as the doctor walks away. They let them now, you know, he tells me. Play golf? Like Tiger Woods. The receptionist lets out a little groan under her breath. Oh my god, she groans. She's obviously in love with her boss. He's strangely captivating. I can't explain it, but I feel mysteriously drawn to him. Crispy and Nay smiles at her. His smile is wonderful. Thousands of dollars worth of orthodontics must have gone into making him average looking. Hey, Olivia, he murmurs, his voice husky and oh so sexy. Is that a new bra you're wearing? Your breasts look perkier than usual. She stares at him for a whole moment and bites her gloss lip. Did you just nag me, you asshole? She snorts incredulously. I got two words for you, sweetie, he says, his voice as silky as a shirt. Unemployment line. He holds up two fingers, one after the other, to emphasize his point. His fingers are oddly eloquent, and I can't help but thinking about them fumbling up my... Oh, my... My inner ear stirs, and I have to steady myself against the edge of the desk. I wasn't prepared for him to be so dominant, like a young Mitt Romney. Olivia simpers, bats her eyelashes, and smooths her impeccable twist of blonde hair. Yeah, well, I've got three little words for you, Chris, she says. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Sexual harassment. Suit. She bares her veneers in a grin. Now, in case you didn't notice, your 2 o'clock appointment is right here. Take the elevator. I wouldn't advise making her walk. She's got some kind of inner ear thing. It's a character trait, I start to say, but Nay has grabbed my arm and pulled me into the elevator. The door shut, and I realize the depth of my predicament. I'm alone in a moving metal box with a man. An attractive man. A rich man. Not that he wouldn't be attractive if he wasn't rich, of course. I'm not interested in money. We stare straight ahead, determined not to look at one another. He lets out a small, soft huff of laughter, and out of the corner of my eye, I see the ghost of a smile dance at the corner of his mouth. What is it about elevators? He says, more to himself than me. I'm sure that I hear the faintest, barely imperceptible poop as the elevator carries us with terminal velocity and no understanding of physics to his office floor. This is us, he says. The door opens, but too late. The barely imperceptible poop is now all too perceptible. His office is enormous. The giant glass windows look out over Seattle at the Space Needle. Puget Sound and other stuff I'll have to look up on Wikipedia when I have the time. The walls are white, and the floor is carpeted in pale gray. It's as bland as Crispy and Nay isn't, with his loud shirt and flamboyant hat. The only other colorful thing in the room is a collection of tiny square, pastel-colored paintings, all arranged in a larger square. There are little gifts like wingdings or weather symbols. I see a cloud, a rainbow, a sun, but then there's an apple and a star. They're oddly childish and surprisingly well described, leading me to wonder if they're a plot point. Chekhov's gun, I murmur. He's behind me, staring over my shoulder at the paintings. His nearness is tantalizing. When he speaks, I can smell his chewing gum. Cinnamon. No, he says. QT marks. Do you know anything about art, Miss Squeal? He asks. His voice is precise, clipped on the T's, and oh so slightly adenoidal. Adenoid. I am conscious of him as a persuasive and forceful man who will not be interested in me if I admit that I don't even know who QT marks is. I blush and feel perspiration run down the nape of my neck, a tepid trickle of shame and inadequacy. Why would you even want him to be interested in you? Whispers an italicized voice in my head. You don't even know how to masturbate. My blush deepens to crimson and I want to die. I didn't even know my subconscious knew that word. Please, take a seat, says Nay, gesturing with a courtly sweep to a long L-shaped white couch that I had previously neglected to describe. I was expecting a Miss Hannigan. She couldn't come, I stammer. She's sick, so there's only me. He removes his fedora and quirks an eyebrow. Yeah, I can see that, he says, curling a lip in an impressive display of facial gymnastics. Do you cut your own hair? I barely suppress a tiny whimper. His eyes are boring into me as if he can see into my thoughts, see through my clothes, and... Oh, my. The thought of him seeing through my clothes is distracting and strangely alluring, exciting. Dot. 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 I catch my breath and take the list of questions out of my satchel. So I'm supposed to, like, ask you stuff? His lips curl in a sardonic smile. That's generally the idea of an interview, Miss Squeal. He leans back in his chair and assesses me with a scrutinizing look, a look that rummages under my sweater and under my skirt and into my... Oh, my. I'm flushing again. I can feel it. So, he says, fire away. I switch on Kate's mini disc recorder and look at the list of questions. It may as well be written in Chinese for all the sense it makes to me. I realize I am desperately out of my depth. I am not pretty or confident enough or smart enough to ask a simple question. What? Nothing. Carry on. I shake off the annoying italicized inner voice and try to compose myself. What is it you do, exactly? I ask. Nay frowns slightly, but his expression is otherwise unreadable, inscrutable, impassive. Yes, impassive. I'm an internet entrepreneur, he says, raising his voice at the end of the sentence, as if only the stupidest person in the world could be expected not to know that. But he's right, absolutely right. I'm sorry, I whisper, unable to keep the cracking squeak out of my voice. I'm overwhelmed with my own inadequacy. I'm stupid. It comes out in a whine, but I can't stop before I know it in squeaking. Stupid, stupid, stupid! In front of this incredibly rich and powerful man. Oh God, he says, getting up from his chair. He takes hold of my hands, and I am immediately seized with a strange, icy calm. There, he murmurs. Just breathe. Slow and steady. It's okay. Hey, what did you say your first name was? Hannah Lore. I think I'll just call you Hannah, if that's okay with you. I nod. I'm sorry, I say, my voice like ashes. I don't know what came over me. It's okay, he says softly. His hands are cool and gentle. There are tiny, thin crescents of orange under his fingernails, and I find them oddly touching, a moving sign of human frailty. You have absolutely no self-esteem whatsoever, do you? I shake my head and swallow hard. Bingo, he mutters. He gets up from the couch. You want a soda or something? Don't worry, I'll make yours a diet. He brings me a sugar-free energy drink, which is more than his blonde lackey downstairs ever did. He takes the list of questions from me and puts on a pair of chunky red-framed designer glasses. Let's see, he says, scanning the list. Okay, you can tell Miss Hannigan that there's no way question 11 is any of her goddamn business. Question 11? Oh. Yeah. That one. So are you gay, Mr. Nay? The words just fly out of my mouth before I can stop him. He's right. It's nobody's business, but somehow I have to know. He removes the glasses, and I have no idea how one person can be so poised, so stylish. It's like he's observed countless panels of comic books in order how to convey expressions through motion alone. That or he's a secret mime. Oh God, I hope not. No, he smolders. I'm not gay, Miss Squeal. He leans close. Although I am unusual. Oh, I wibble. Are you... Are you trying to seduce me, Mr. Knight? He straightens up. No, just foreshadowing. He glances at the list again. Okay, so how about I just go through these questions and email you the answers? Actually, we could have done this whole interview online anyway. I don't know why we didn't. She could have just Skyped from her sickbed. I shrug. I don't understand either. So, what's your email address? I stare blankly at him. I read a lot of 19th century literature. Good for you, he says. But it's 2012. Do you mean to tell me you don't have an email address? No, I don't have a computer. His frown deepens. Aren't you part of the graduating class? I'm supposed to be speaking at the graduation. Your graduation. Yeah, I just got my bachelor's. What did you write your dissertation on? Classic British novels? I like classic British novels. Like Shakespeare and Thomas Hardy. No, I mean on, says Crispian May. Like physically, what did you write on? Papyrus? Vellum? How do you go through 4 years of higher education in the 21st century without owning a computer? I don't know, I say. Honestly, I don't. I'm just not good with technology, I guess. He looks me up and down. Wow, he says. And I don't think it's because he's impressed. I guess I'm not that worldly, I murmur. Innocent, he verbs, a finger on his lower lip as he gazes speculatively at me, making me blush. I feel funny. I bite my lip. I'm not sure, but I think his gaze grows more heated. Oh my. Why are you looking at me like that? I whisper, my voice a tiny mouse squeak in the back of my dry throat. It's what I do, he purrs, his voice gravelly and cool, like an ice cream dropped on the sidewalk. He gives me a long, assessing look and straightens up. So, he says in a conversational tone, are those all your own teeth? And that's the end of chapter one. That was interesting, and I had to pause several times to laugh. It's ridiculous. I hope you enjoyed it, and if you did, let me know, and I'll get ahead with chapter two.